At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You hear about other situations and other people that are in it, but when you're in it, it's just like, okay, do I really believe what I've been taught my whole life? Do I believe that God's going to show up? Because it was really scary. And we just both agreed we're going to do this. We're going to trust that God is going to get us through this. And we know that he will.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. You all have just listened to Jason's episode and heard his story. We hinted a little bit at possibly being able to sit down with Jenny, Jason's wife, and it's no longer a surprise. We are here with Jenny. We're so excited to be able to hear her perspective on things, and we get to hear from an angel. In Jason's story, you are his angel, an angel for him, and I'm sure an angel for many other people. And as you tell your story, there's no doubt that more people will be able to look to you as an angel and learn from you and how you've been able to navigate through something that none of us hope to go through, I think. But Jenny, we'll turn it over to you. You can give a brief little introduction and then kind of give everybody your side of the story.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. My name's Jenny, and Jason and I have been married 21 years just this past week, so a really long
wow.
time. Like, I feel like I don't even remember the people we were before all of this happened. We met in college and then at Murray State University, and then I moved home. I only stayed there a year, and I came home. I just felt this need that I needed to be at home. Jason and I started dating when I actually came home. We lived in the same town, but we went to different high schools and we didn't know each other. So we met there, but then I came home and went to a college here in our hometown. And a year later, my dad died. So I would say that was probably the most traumatic thing that had ever up until that point happened to me, but you know, I just had this feeling that I needed to be at home, and I got that year at home with my dad, and it was you can see now that that was God leading me back to have that year at home with him. But after Jason graduated and came home, and then he's a year older than me, so then I graduated and we got married. We were married a year, and then we had Billy Grace. And then I had it all planned out, of course. Like 5 years later, we were going to have another kid. And then I think that I'd always said, oh, I want four kids. So we had Billy Grace, and then she was 9 months old, and we found out we were pregnant again. And I was like, wow. Like, this is not my plan, but we had Campbell and our second daughter, so they are 18 months to the day apart, and I took 12 weeks off of work, and I think Billy Grace had to have tubes put in her ears. Like, I went back to work on a Thursday, maybe she had tubes put in on a Friday, so I worked Thursday, didn't work Friday. And then that Saturday, it was whenever Jason's accident happened. So I had barely been back to work. I remember we had gone to town, gone to the mall, came home. I put the girls down. Jason was riding his four-wheeler around outside. It was the first like, pretty day in a while. I remember that. And I hear my power member, I was my degree's in graphic design, so I was working on wedding invitations for my brother, and all the power went out. And I was like, that's weird. The girls are asleep. Then the phone rings, and it is my sister-in-law, and she's just like, Jason's been in an accident. And I'm thinking, what kind of accident? Like, he's not on the road. I'm like, okay. But I run outside. My brother's soon-to-be wife was here. So I ran outside. I see my neighbor. He can hear the sirens and everything, and he yells across the street, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't know. Can you just drive me and let's find where it's something with Jason? So he runs over. I jump in his truck. We followed the ambulance around past my house down back where he was, and I can hear him, and he's talking, and I was like, oh, well, this really must not be that big of a deal. But he gets in the ambulance. They let me get in the ambulance. We're headed to our little hospital in our town, and Jason's like, Jenny, I'm going to be fine. No big deal. Like, you know, he can tell something's wrong with his hand, but he's just like, I had no clue. Even actually, I didn't even have a clue at that moment that he was electrocuted. So we get to the hospital, and I don't even know his name, but the guy driving the ambulance, he just looks at me and he's like, you probably won't be here long. And I was like, what? So I get out, I follow Jason. I still really don't have, I don't have an idea of really how serious it is. Like, we hadn't even been married 4 full years at this point. So we go in, and I hear people are rushing around, and they're like, if we don't get this kid out of here, he's going to die. And I was like, for a second, I really thought they were talking about somebody else.
Right.
So I found his mom and dad somehow make it there. It's a blur. I don't remember. I remember my sister coming, my mom coming, my aunt. I remember they said he needed to go to Nashville or Louisville, whoever could get to him first. And then they said, you know, that he had been electrocuted and like all of these things were going to shut down his organs and that they needed to get him out of here. So I had to, the rest of his family left to drive there. And my brother-in-law waited for me because I had to sign saying he could fly in the airplane, maybe. I had to sign something, so I couldn't leave with them. So my sister came, and I just remember looking at my sister and saying, I don't do this a lot, so.
No, you're totally fine.
It's been so long ago, you would think that I wouldn't cry, but it's like when I retell the whole story, I remember just looking at my sister and, you know, I've gone to church my entire life. And I just remember thinking, and remember, my dad dying was really the most traumatic thing that had ever mm-hmm. it happened to me. And so I'm just like, I think that we need to pray. And so I can remember being in the waiting room, this little waiting room, and getting on my knees with my sister, and other people were probably there, but I don't remember. And I remember praying. I remember then my brother-in-law, I sign, my brother-in-law gets my sister and me, and we go to Nashville. I remember going into another waiting room, and they told me that there was a chance that he would have to have his hands amputation, but they didn't really tell me what. He would maybe need a blood transfusion. I needed to sign this, but that I could go see him. So I remember going into this room, and it was just like, felt like the morgue. It was cold. It was very strange. And apparently in that moment, they had given him medicine. I didn't know this, but because they flew him in a helicopter there. So whenever I walked back there, I just remember telling him, you know, it's going to be okay. Oh, but then he's not really coherent, but I can just see this tear roll down his face. And I just am thinking, oh, he's got to be so scared. Like, so we all go back into the waiting room, and I don't remember how long later, but I remember the doctor coming out and just saying, you know, I had to amputate both of his hands in order to save his life. And I just remember thinking, this can't be real. Like, this can't be my life or his life or our girl's life. Like, how do you even come back from this? How do you function? We had just bought a new house, and all these thoughts were just going through my head. How are we going to take care of them, of the girls? And am I going to have to do this alone? So many thoughts were just going through my head. So many people came to the hospital and were there, and people were here taking care of the girls. I remember the first time that they put him in a coma. So I remember the first time that I actually saw him, I had already started to do research on prosthetics and different things. And I just remember, I mean, he was raised in church his whole life too. And, you know, I was just like, we were alone for a minute, and he might not even remember he was on so much medicine, but I remember we just had a conversation like, we're going to do this. We're going to trust that God is going to get us through this. Like, you hear about other situations and other people that are in it, but when you're in it, it's just like, okay, do I really believe what I've been taught my whole life? Do I believe that God's going to show up? Because it was really scary. And we just both agreed, we're going to do this. We're going to trust that God is going to get us through this. And we know that he will. We just made up our minds that day in the hospital, and we had that conversation. Like, I've actually never told him that. I don't know that he even remembers that conversation.
Wow.
He got to come home a whole lot sooner than what we had originally thought, and I had to learn how to be a nurse. And so I have a 21-month-old, 3-month-old, and then him. And I can remember by the time we got home, it was just, there would be so many days that I would give the baby a bath, I would give Billy a bath, I would give him a bath, and then I just wouldn't. So many things that as a mom and trying to take care of him, you just forget to do. You're so exhausted. I can remember our church set up a meal train, and for 3 months, people brought us dinner. That was one thing I didn't have to think about. Mm-hmm. He had, you know, skin grafts from his hips to his knees, and then he had open wounds still on his arms. And so I couldn't cross-contaminate rags. So it's like I had to wash his leg, but then I had to throw it over here, and then I had to get another one. So it was so consuming that I had to have his aunt who lived up the road, she would come and sit with the girls just so I could give him a bath. I can remember a lady that we went to church with, she came and cleaned my house. And so it was just one more thing, one more person that God was putting in our path just to help us get, literally when I say it was getting from one day to the next, that was it. It was like, God, like, okay, just get me through this day. Like, give me the strength to keep these three people alive, because I felt so overwhelmed and responsible for all of them. I know, like, God put so many people, like I said, that helped, but like just feeling the weight of that. I can remember there was times when it was like, I don't know how I'm gonna pay. And you know, we had family that would help us when we couldn't pay things, and I know that, but you don't always want to have to ask. And I remember one day, I don't know, our electric bill was due, and someone knocked at our door and just said, hi, I'm from this church, and we want to pay your electric bill. And I'm not kidding, it was the exact bill that was due. It was just like, I think through all of this, I just really realized that, you know, when you are so connected to God and feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit, from the other side of it, how thankful and blessed we were to have these people that God was overseeing and like putting in our path. But now, you know, 18 years later, it's like, wow, when I feel that prompting, I need to act. I don't need to think about it. I just need to, you know, I might have three kids who have to be at three different places in this, but if there's a need, I need to show up, because so many people showed up. And we would not have been able to do it without them. But I just love how God orchestrated it all, you know, and in the moment when you're just literally living from day to day and you're just thankful, but then when you step back years later and you're like, oh, wow, that was God. That was God. That was God.
You're good. Jenny, I'm going to ask you a question really quick. I can't remember, how old were you guys at this time? I know, was it like 28?
Yes, I was probably 27, almost 28. I probably turned 28 in July.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yes, that's right. Because we would have been married for, it was 4 years in September.
And just taking care of all your whole family. I can't even imagine. I mean, I think that as women, we are called to do that. That's our need, right? Mm-hmm. We feel important in doing those things, but we never imagine in that type of capacity that we're going to be someone's caregiver in that sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know you're definitely an angel in your families.
I feel like, you know, as a mom and a wife, you just do what you have to do to take care of your family. You show up and you sacrifice things, and that's just part of it, you know. But like I said, taking a step back and looking and just seeing, you know, how God just has this sovereignty over all of it, and it's connecting, and you just appreciate that so much. But then I feel like it has, over the past 18 years, it has motivated me just to want to have, I just pray, like, God, you know, like, let me have eyes that see those needs, because people won't ask. Like, I wasn't asking or telling people. So, like, it's more like not just saying, how can I help you? It's just showing up. Mm-hmm. You know, God uses so many people to accomplish his will and do those things and his purposes and his plans. And but we've got to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? And it wasn't until that whole journey that I realized just how important it is. Like, you always think somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else will do that. And even the meals were so, so wonderful. Like, you might just think, oh, my, cooking a meal is no big deal for, like, but it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. When you're in those traumatic situations and you're overwhelmed, it's one thing you don't have to worry about. Yes. I remember I have talked a few times, but not a lot. But now I look back to so many years ago and some of the things that I would say, you know, and I would just be like, wow, why did I say that? You know, you're raised in church and you hear all these typical cliche answers. And I have said them throughout this journey, especially in the beginning. But it wasn't until later that I realized, wow, I would say, oh, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I would say those words. And then one day I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, God, that's not true. That is not true, because this is more than I can handle. This is more than I can handle. This is more than Jason can handle. This is more than my kids can handle. But you are good, right? And so it's more like, he gives me more than I can handle. So if I was saying God doesn't give you more than you can handle, in reality, he does, but he wants me to realize that he's the one that I need to rely on, not myself. Mm. Like I said in the beginning, I had my whole life planned out. And well, this wasn't necessarily my plan, but God's like, you know, I have other plans for you and your family. And but he was there, you know, the whole time. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't. If it wasn't for him orchestrating people to help us, angels, as you say, among us and here on earth, our story wouldn't be the same. But God carried us through by having people help us in the exact moments that that we needed them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it on, but I have it, and it just says, it's never luck, it's always God. And, you know, I don't believe in coincidences and even through this, though, I see that more and more. You know, you, when you've been through something so traumatic, you just have eyes that see, oh, that was God that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talk about quite a bit on the show, eyes to see and ears to hear. And it's not about seeing physically what our eyes are looking at, right? Or hearing what we're actually hearing. It's seeing what God needs us to see and hearing what God needs us to hear, right? And in the beginning, you talked about faith, right? You were always someone of faith. And both of us, we've always been people of faith also. But I know that that is something that so many people struggle with. Being able to believe in something that they can't quite understand. Or like for me, I was actually just having this conversation with my brother yesterday, is that for me, it's, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to know how exactly God works and how he, like you were talking about, orchestrates everything and puts people on our path, and it's all happening at the same time, and there's a million different things happening, right? And it's, if you really start to think about it, it's overwhelming and you can't wrap your brain around it. But I know that it's true. I know that I'm able to have that faith. For whatever reason, I'm so thankful for it. But there are people out there that struggle with that. They have to know the how before they can really believe. And I didn't warn you about this question before, but it just kind of came up. But with the faith, if there's somebody out there that struggles with being able to have faith, even if it's not really just faith in God, maybe they're not to that point yet, but maybe just faith that there are things happening that is out of our control. And how do we put our faith in something like that?
Oh, well, I feel like when you hear people's testimonies and when you see other things that don't make sense, how in the world did this man, one, not die? How has he begin? I mean, he thrives. He is one of the top prosthetic users in the world. A coincidence. Doctors said he could, you know, when you're electrocuted by that much voltage, you shouldn't be able to have any more kids. We have a son. So
I was going to ask you that also.
We had Axel. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to people. There has to be something that is bigger than us that is doing this. You know, and I always go back to the verse, you know, don't be anxious, always pray. And this peace from God, the peace that comes from that, from knowing that he is in control, it's overwhelming. Whenever you hand it over to God and you truly believe that his way is better, that his plans are better than anything I could imagine, any path I could dream for myself, his way is better. And when you really surrender to that, and then you're like, God, use me. This wouldn't have been what I would have thought, what I would have dreamed for my life or thought could happen. But at the end of the day, if my goal is to make heaven crowded, right? That's my goal. That's your goal. That's everybody's goal. And so if Jason and I walking through this journey helps that in any way, then that was God fulfilling his purpose through us, using us to do that. I don't know if I really answered your question. Okay, sorry.
No, of course. I knew that it was going to be a difficult question because I don't even completely know the answer to that. I don't know how to convince somebody of something. It's like the things that I know and feel, when I'm able to recognize God in my life, it's so hard for me to articulate that and to explain that and to get somebody to believe in miracles the way that I do.
And I think I feel bad for them. Like, you're missing out. You're missing out on this peace and this God is our healer, he's our comforter. So many things you could say, right? And you're missing out if you're not plugged into that. I can't imagine thinking that Jason's accident, all of that we went through was for nothing. I can't imagine thinking that nothing good was going to come of that.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's your fault. The good. And I was being able to listen, well, to Jason and how he was explaining everything that you were doing. And for him, that's a difficult spot for us as men to know that there's not a lot we can do. And it's, as a man, we like to be in control. Mm-hmm. And we like to, I don't know.
Not have to rely on other people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And for Jason to be, he had to be humble in that situation and to really rely on other people and other people in the community. You both talked about that. But for me to see how differently God made men and women, because even the things that, like, my wife has to do, being a mother, being at home, you know, doing all of the roles, we call them roles, right? I mean, it's just how life is. God made us completely differently. And I couldn't do what she does. The last couple of days she had a little like convention for work and stuff. So I had the kids, right? I was the mom and the dad. And there's times where, I mean, I love it. I love being with my kids. I love every second of it, but there is so much that I am not good at, you know, the nurturing them and changing diapers and making sure that they have a good, healthy lunch and not just throwing something in the microwave for them. You know, it's, there's a lot and it's nonstop. And if I were to have to do that on my own all the time, my kids wouldn't be as happy and as healthy as they are right now. And it's just a testament to how different we are as men and women, as sons and daughters of God. We are designed to do and to be different. And for you to see you sitting here with a smile on your face after going through everything that you have had to do. And I mean, I can't imagine, especially those first few weeks and months after he came home from the hospital and you, like you said, you had to skip bathing yourself sometimes, you know, and just because it was all you could do to lay in bed and fall asleep, you know, and it's just so powerful to know what we are capable of. Like you said, it's, you couldn't have done it on your own and not without the angels around you and not without God in your life orchestrating things. So back to my question before, this kind of just came to me with a little bit of an answer. If there's anybody out there that's struggling to be able to see God in your life, get on your knees and ask him to show himself to you. And he will. Mm-hmm. He will perform miracles in your life. And he will show you that he's there in only a way that he can show you. I know that he will. He does it to me, for me, on a daily basis. And yeah, so that's...
And I would add to that also, even the other side of it, the people who are not feeling like they're in a moment where they need a miracle or they're on that specific journey at this moment, but just to pray to have eyes and ears that you are so connected to the Holy Spirit that you are prompted to move, right? To move, to not think and second guess, but just to show up and to move for other people, because God calls us to that. And
yeah, and that requires strength. That's hard, right? To have those promptings or those feelings when God is asking you to be an angel for somebody else. A lot of times we second guess ourselves and it's so easy to say, oh, that was just a thought. That wasn't God telling
me. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will show up.
Yeah. And I've been there, mm-hmm. right? I think we've all been there, and you know, somebody else does have to pick up my slack.
I tell my son a lot on our way to school, like sometimes I will say, you know, don't let the devil win your choices today. Like, and that covers a lot of things, but you know, like the devil wants us to not be effective, and that's his job, right? So, but it's our job to be so in the word, because God speaks through this. And then the Holy Spirit prompts you to move.
A lot of our guests, when they go through things and I sit here and I'm listening at how incredibly difficult it is, or when people hear our story of infertility and different things, it can be really hard to try to put ourselves in other people's shoes, we never want to wish. I don't sit here and ask God to put challenges in my life to strengthen me, right? I've had those thoughts that maybe I should ask for stuff like that, but I don't think I'm strong enough to be able to ask for that yet. But, and we didn't talk about this before, Jenny, but you've been through something really, really difficult. Has it been a blessing in your life?
Oh, for sure. I'm not the same person that I was almost 18 years ago. Now, I told you, I grew up in church my whole life, but the journey from that day until now, and the way that I have learned to rely on God, and so how it has changed my relationship with Him, I can't even describe it. I can't imagine being that person still. I went to church and I was involved. I'm not saying that I wasn't, but the connection is so much. I feel like when you walk through something so horrible and you witness God's goodness, you don't take it for granted, you know? And so then the next time it's like, even when things aren't, I look at difficult situations. Now, I haven't been through anything nearly as difficult since, you know, that, but everything is difficult. Your difficult is difficult. Everything is difficult for different people. And so there's not like a balance on it, but my eyes are more like, okay, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I trust you. You helped me then, and I know you're going to show up now. And in the middle of it, I know that He is shaping and changing me to look different, right? I want to be an image of Him. Like, I want my heart to literally reflect the goodness of God. And it's different today than it was then. And I'm still working on getting better. Every, you know, like sanctification process. You're just trying to change to look more and more like Jesus. And these opportunities in pain, in difficult things, God is shaping you, you know? And that in itself is a blessing because of how He's going to work through you. It's a blessing.
What's that scripture? God, all things to the good. He can take all things to the good.
Oh, Romans 28. God works all things for the good of those who love
Works all things. That's what I can.
All things.
All things.
Yes. And so like just having the eyes to see that, you know, I'm scared, I'm confused, I'm overwhelmed, but God, you're good. You're good. And I love you. And I know you're going to work this for your good. And so through this, I've learned, like, God wants us to remind Him of His promises. And so you find them in here and you pray them back. God, Romans 8:28 tells me that you are good and that you are working things for my good and your glory. And I know this. I know this.
Oh, you're so awesome.
Yep.
I think we've said this too on the podcast, like before, just we have these trials and we tend to say, oh, I could never do that. I could never go through something like, I mean, I'm looking at you right now and I'm like there, I don't know. I don't know if I could get through that. But like you said earlier, like, yes, you can, you just do it. Right. Like, and we go through it, but to be able to see you and then to see your husband and how positive you guys are, like it just gives me so much hope. And I know it's going to give so many others that are going through a hard, difficult time, whether they're going through something similar or not. We've heard that so many times, like your podcast, it allows me to know that like I'm not alone and I'm okay. I can do this because this is what God needs me to do. And we have to have that faith that like this is where we need to be and this is where He wants us to be. And we need to have faith in Him and trust Him. And that's hard.
It is hard.
But to be able to do it with a smile, like you guys, I'm not saying it's always with a smile. And that's
to get into our marriage and how it was, the things that it did. And that's a whole nother podcast. But, difficult. Like, you know, it was difficult.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
You're a nurse. It's hard to be a wife.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I cannot even imagine.
Well, if you have any advice for anybody that is going through it right now, what's one little nugget that you can give them?
Well, over the past few days, I've just, in my Bible, my quiet time with God, I've kept coming back to Isaiah 61, I think is where. And then my preacher said it today. He referenced it today. I was like, okay, maybe I need to. But just about how God makes beauty from ashes, right? Mm. So no matter how far gone you think your situation is, God makes beauty from ashes. And so turn it over to him, trust him, and get in your Bible and fill your heart with the promises of God. Tell yourself them every day.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one last thing. We ask our guests to share one thing that they know to be true. What's, if you could bear testimony right now to one thing, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Okay. Just that God is good. That he's good.
Love it.
Even whenever you're scared and uncertain and overwhelmed, God is good.
Amen. You got anything else?
Nope. She said it very well.
Well, I think you and Jason and us could be really good friends. I told Jason that he's one of my favorite people.
You've probably heard that many times, but Brent says that because he's a closet cowboy. So he really.
I just love a Southern accent, and that's like my kind of people.
He's got his cowboy boots that, you know.
I wore my cowboy boots to church today.
So. There you go. Oh, well, man. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you. And like I said, this is Jason's comfort zone, not mine. But I said a long time ago, okay, God, whenever you put it in front of me, like have to like put it in front of me, I'll do it. I don't go searching.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it so much. And I know our listeners will as well. And we're so thankful that you sat down with us today.
Yeah, thank you all very much. Your podcast is a blessing, I'm sure, to lots of people.
Thank you.
We hope so. It's been 100% a blessing to us, and mm-hmm. I feel like we get so much more out of it than other people. So we're going to keep coming.
Good.
So. All right, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.